It's another episode of The Steam Room
big
with
day
Charles
day,
Barkley
day
and Ernie
today.
Johnson. Man, you are excited.
I am.
I can't even introduce the pod, and you're already, man, you're excited.
Man, I can sniff the sunshine.
You can sniff the sunshine.
It's that time of year is coming up. I love the summer. I don't care how hot it is. The playoffs are getting good. TNT got the Stanley Cup Finals. This is a great time of the year.
Speaking of which, our guest just a bit later here on the Steam Room will be Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty, from our NHL on TNT studio crew. And even if you're not a big hockey fan, you will enjoy the conversation we have with him. He's a lot of fun, man. What a good dude.
What a good dude. And let me tell you something, one of the most fun people. I'm blessed that he lives out in my area.
But as always, we begin with, first of all.
Hey, I just want to say, I got a list of people that I want to say thank you to. My girl, Tammy Sweeney, at Buff City Soap.
Ooh, Buff City is good, man.
Yes, yes. Tammy, thank you. There's a company in Union City, Alabama. I want to thank you. Let me put my glasses on.
Hey, by the way, Buff City also does, like, laundry detergent.
Do they?
That's unbelievable. Yeah, it's really good.
Hawk Soap, Scott and Paul.
This is all because you once almost lost a bar of hotel soap in the shower.
Yeah, I had a couple.
So now you've been getting all of these
big bars of
soaps. Okay.
Autumn Prickett has a company called Autumn Makes Stuff. Twin Craft Skincare. So Union City, Alabama, Buff City, Tammy Sweeney, Hawk Soap, Autumn Prickett, and Twin Craft. Thank y'all for the great soap. And I promise you something, it's not going to go to waste. I'm going to keep some of it, and then I'm going to give it to a homeless shelter like that. So I really want to tell you thank you. And I want to give a shout out to this fourth grade teacher at Evergreen Elementary. His name is Joaquin Bernal. He sent me a book for little Henry, like the first 100 words. And it's a book. It's really cute. It's got...
I got a copy of it, too.
I'm not special. He sent you one, too?
Yeah, I think he sent them to everybody on the crew.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, go ahead and continue.
Okay, Joaquin Bernal. I thought I was special, but that's okay. He's at Evergreen Elementary. You know how my respect for teachers.
Yeah.
Joaquin, thank you for the book.
Yeah, I can't wait because I've got a newborn grandchild as well, too.
Yes.
Adler, so we'll make sure he sees. Yeah, it's just a picture book and learning your first
100 words.
That's cool. It's very cool.
So I got this gift from this guy named David McCann in Ireland.
I got the same thing.
No, I
didn't. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding on that one. Go ahead.
So he sent me a gift and want to say thank you to me and you for the podcast, and me, you, Kenny, and Ernie for the TV show. He was ill, and he said, the podcast and our TV show, because he was trapped in the house, he said he can't thank us enough for just brightening his days when he was really struggling. It's amazing. David McCann from Ireland. Just want to thank you for the gift and for being a fan and saying you love the podcast.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah, we do.
It's good to know that there's something besides just us, you know, doing our thing because that's what we do. But to know that it might have a little more meaning to somebody and they can find some kind of a solace or relief in it, that's cool.
Yeah. And I'm going to finish up with this. Hey, I just want to congratulate all the guys who got drafted in the NFL. It's a great opportunity. Nothing like playing sports. So the first part is getting drafted. I wish all you young men nothing but the best. I hope you can have a great life playing sports. But if you can't, hey, just make sure that, listen, sports is what you do. It's not who you are. Everybody's not going to make it, but getting drafted is a great honor.
And it's an opportunity.
It's
there
an
you
opportunity.
Go.
Yeah. And there's going to be way more free agents If some of you guys can make it, bless you, because playing sports is great. And one of the coolest things I saw was Jerry Jones has an assistant coach. It was really great television, and it was emotional, and everybody was crying. When I saw it, I didn't watch the draft that late. But when I saw it, it brought tears to my eyes. So he got to call his son and tell him he was going to get drafted by the Cowboys. And it was such a cool moment. I mean, dad was crying. The kid said, son, would you like to come to work with me next week? And he says, what? He says, we're going to draft you. And Ernie, it was so cool.
I'll have to look for that. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Yes, it was a really cool moment. Go look at that. His name is Vaughn. The coach, he's a scout for the Cowboys. And man, it was so emotional. So shout out to the Vaughn family. I hope the kid makes it. I think he went to Kansas State, if I remember correctly. But can you imagine being a scout and they say, hey, we're going to draft your son, and they let you make the call?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So, man, it was a great moment. So, hey, guys, as a guy who was blessed to play pro sports for a living, it's a great job, and I wish all you young men luck. So that's it, brother.
That's your first of all. I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
Because you said you were getting emotional when you were watching this clip.
Yes.
So, is there a movie that makes you tear up?
Sports-wise?
No, a movie.
Oh, yeah. There's several movies that make me tear up.
So you will tear up at watching a movie?
I will get emotional, yes. I'm not going to act like I'm a tough guy.
Okay, so it's not a boo-hoo, but you feel the tears.
Yes,
going. Okay.
Yes.
Well, what's at the top of the list? Which movie?
Brian's Song is always...
Oh, man, you're going way back.
I'm trying to think
of the Brian Piccolo story with Gale Sayers.
Malcolm X, when they killed him, Spike Lee shot out. When they killed him in the auditorium, that makes me emotional. You know Braveheart? When they chop off Mel Gibson's head.
How about Field of Dreams?
That didn't do it for me. Man, Kevin Costner's made some great sports movies.
Yeah.
I actually like Draft Day.
Mm-hmm. Bull Durham.
Oh, I watched Bull Durham like in the last week.
But Bull Durham doesn't make you tear up.
No. Nuke LaLoosh.
Nuke LaLoosh.
Oh, yes.
$1 million arm with a 10 cent head.
Exactly right.
Rose goes in the front.
Oh, what did Kevin Costner say? I like long walks.
Oh, you can't even. Yeah, that big soliloquy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Susan Sarandon said.
That's one of the great Susan Sarandon imitations of all time.
Man, Kevin, they go in Yellowstone, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a good show.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. All right, we're off to a flying start.
Yes.
And it's just going to get faster when Paul Bissonnette joins us next. High energy, high entertainment value.
Yes.
Joining us on the Steam Room next. Back here inside the Steam Room.
This is going to be cool.
Is that jazz?
That's a guy playing stand-up bass. It's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
but
very relaxing.
Effective. That's the voice of Paul Bissonnette, by the way.
Before they come in, so they spill the tea.
Yeah, Paul Bissonnette.
Is this like the Red Table?
Yes, it's like the Red Table. We're gonna make you cry.
Yeah. So we didn't really do a formal introduction because we just started talking.
That's the best thing about it.
But Paul Bissonnette is here. Biz Nasty.
That's because I don't shut up.
Part of our NHL on TNT coverage of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Great to see you, man. Thanks because you've been working a lot. Thanks for coming in early,
it's
man.
It's an honor. I appreciate you guys bumping back.
Hey, man, nice haircut, too.
Yeah.
Fantastic Sam's.
Yeah, that's
cool
the one.
Cool cuts.
Yeah, no, I go to a girl named Lauren the Legend. She was actually hired by the TNT crew.
Hey, hold on for a second.
No free plugs?
No.
Does she have to pay for an ad? Plug,
but don't just, see, Ernie has a bad habit of throwing the Legend thing around. Let's ease up on the Legend.
They call her Lauren the Legend.
I'll just call her Lauren from now on. I'll change the contact on
Lauren,
my phone.
I mean, because he throws TK.
But if Lauren's ever sick.
You got a guy?
I got a guy. Troy Higgins.
Okay.
Over here, One Moreland Avenue.
Will they get the back hair too?
Wait, do you?
And it's
do that too? Oh my God!
And it's
I do that.
It's funny that you guys have the
Cutter's
name,
Lounge, by the way.
Who came up with the name Steam Room, by the way?
You really want the story?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was it because you caught him doing crunches in the Steam Room?
No,
the public one, naked on the top shelf?
I'm not naked. I have a towel on.
Oh, yeah.
You seen me naked. You always have a...
What was that last line?
So
what was that last line?
No,
you said, whoa, you've seen me naked.
No, you see me.
That's what you said. That's what you just said.
Let me explain, Ernie. So, you know, one of my pet peeves is guys naked in the steam room.
Yes.
So he's been at the hotel. We get in the steam room together. And every time he comes in, that's why I do my sit-ups, is in the steam room.
Top shelf. Takes the whole top shelf.
Doing sit-ups.
Hey, 37,
go
38,
low. Going low in the five hole.
Steam room. Is it a steam room or a sauna?
Steam room.
We go to the steamer.
Yeah,
and then,
so you can sort of see this outline of a guy, depending on the amount of steam, in this kind of a rhythmic...
Yeah, no, I saw it when I came in, and I sat as far away as possible, and then I heard the counting, and I was like, oh, my God, this guy's, like, really giving it and, like, taking up the whole top shelf, and then all of a sudden when he was done, he came down, he's like, is that Biz? And I'm like, yeah, oh, Jesus, Chuck. I'm like, get that ball bag out of my face, man.
You didn't even know.
No, I didn't know. No, because I didn't want to look, because it was like his cornhole was just staring right at me while he's trying to get these sit-ups in, counting by twos. Hey, no, but congratulations on the weight loss, though. I know you've been working hard.
I mean,
steam room will burn those calories off.
Hey, so that's a better steam room story than the actual how we got known as the steam room, because Chuckster was in a steam room with a guy who was wearing one of those loci bracelets, you know, those rubbery loci bracelets.
For balance?
No, it's just kind of a decorative thing, a message, you know, about staying humble and that kind of thing. And he says, I like your bracelet. Next thing you know, the guy is giving Chuck his bracelet.
See, they make something so kind and so sweet into something so evil. That's the way Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq are.
No.
It was a sweet moment from a guy hooking me up with a bracelet, and y'all turned into something filthy.
Had you been doing sit-ups in front of him?
I probably had been.
As this would led to the
bracelet exchange? I always do my sit-ups in the steam room.
Why?
Because it's
hot. Not a place to exercise, man. That's a place to unwind.
That's what I thought.
That's what everybody thinks.
I felt like he was encroaching on all the men's
space.
I don't sit close to people.
And first of all, if it had been any more people in there, I would have stopped doing my sit-ups and just sit in the corner.
Top shelf.
And all the normal towels look like a hand towel on them, too. So it's not like he was covering anything anyway. So hey, just maybe get a beach towel, bring your own custom ones down.
There's two shelves. You need to go in the five hole down low. You got the whole shelf down low.
Okay.
I'm on the top shelf.
Good to know.
You came late. If you had been on the top shelf, I'd have got on the bottom shelf.
Okay.
I don't sit next to people, especially dudes in the steam room.
Talk calls them bird watchers.
That's right.
There's a few in there.
That's a few in there. That's definitely a few in there.
Yeah.
Well, Biz, thanks for being with us today. It's been a pleasure.
That was great to start here.
We'll be back with more on this. No, okay. So let's talk hockey. You've got right here one of the greatest hockey fans of all time in Chuckster. I'm an old school hockey guy back from when the Atlanta Flames were the home team here, and that's when I'm a teenager, but I developed a love for the sport back then. Let's take us back to your roots and as you're growing up and how this all came about. And is it true that, like, when you're born in Canada, you're basically born with hockey skates on and you better play?
Definitely the predominant sport. I was born in Welland, Ontario, and at a very young age, like, my mother, she was the breadwinner. She worked extremely hard, college professor, and sometimes on her lunch break, she would take me over to just the public skating, and that's when I first ended up getting on the blades, and it was at a young age, I want to say, like, you know, 2.5, 3, to the point where you're out there just waddling, and you actually have two blades on each skate. And
the double runners.
The double runners, yeah. Sure. And, you know, I obviously fell in love with the skating aspect. You know, my parents, you know, cared so much about me at a young age and investing time in me that where they started bringing me to power skating lessons. And then as soon as I really got into the competitive side of hockey, because of the skating lessons and them taking me early on, I just felt that I adapted early. And I think as a kid, like anytime you get positive reinforcement and people could tell that you may be excelling, it just helps you want to stick with it. And it was a fun childhood. I played minor hockey growing up. Along the way, played a little bit of single A where I was cut from triple A team. So I think it taught me a lot to how to deal with adversity, but, you know, ended up just really caring and working extremely hard, not being forced by my parents either. Mm. They were very standoffish. It was me who wanted it. And I just think with their love and attention and my dedication, it ended up taking off and getting me to the junior ranks, and from the junior ranks getting drafted, and then being able to play a 12-year professional career, five of which in the National Hockey League. So as far as my childhood's concerned, very blessed to have had amazing coaches and just people in the area of Welland, Ontario, who really cared about all the players and their development. Actually, seven kids from my minor league team who I grew up with actually got drafted to the OHL.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I wondered, you know, when you're growing up, and maybe for Chuck, you know, playing rec league baseball or basketball or whatever, and you kind of share these dreams with kids, you know, and you're saying, man, I want to be in the big league someday. Were there any of those kids, I mean, like when you were really young, that also made that rise that you did?
Yeah, that was fortunate for Welland. We had such good coaches, as I mentioned, where there was a few guys in front of me that had made it to the NHL. So we have a town of 50,000 people, and at one point we had seven guys in the NHL. Wow. At the same time. Cal Clutterbuck, who's still playing, Dan Girardi, who had a lengthy career with the Rangers. He's got a great story too. Dan Paille, Nathan Horton, who's from Dunville, but he played all his minor in Welland, Ontario. Jamie Tardif and Andre DeVoe and Matt Ellis. Yeah. So all of us around that same time. And I think that just knowing that somebody from Welland could make it, it set up that dream where we're like, well, this is possible. And we would usually all train at the same places. So just seeing that they had set the path and that it was a realistic goal, I think that it was easy for the rest of the guys to follow, because there were a few guys my age and then a couple guys who were younger too. So I just, once again, think it goes back to the coaches we were fortunate enough to have, where, you know, you play Adam, Pee Wee, Bantam. So you play 2 years of each, where every time we were being handed off to a different coach, it was a great coach who cared just as much as the last one and shared a lot of the same philosophies. And like, even to the point where Mark LaRose, he was our Adam coach. We probably in the league played like 55 games a year, where he was like paying out of his own pocket for us to get extra ice time for practice, for us to go down to Buffalo, because we were in Welland, Ontario, which is a border town, to go play some of the American teams. So just to see like a coach that was willing to invest not only his time, but his hard-earned money into like making sure that we got more reps and better competition, I just think it definitely helped all of us achieve our goal.
What was your first time in the United States?
My first time, I would say that probably just at a, like, I mean, we would always go down with my father to fill up in gas because the dollar was the same. So we would go, like, my mom would, she wrote a couple books when she would be in these phases of writing books, and she'd be like, Cam, get the kids out of the house. He would take us to Tops in the United States down to Buffalo, go fill up the gas tank, because dollar was at par.
Yeah.
But gas prices and just cost of living and groceries and everything in Canada is so much more expensive. So we would go down to Buffalo for some wings. And, you know, me and my sister would, you know, build a fort in the back of the whatever our minivan was and mess around.
Is it just you two?
Yeah, me and my sister. Yeah. And we'd go down there. And so, but then for as far as hockey's concerned, it started really around that age. I talked about that coach where he would bring us down. So we were able to play against these American kids.
So are you ever surprised at your popularity between television and the podcast?
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Just because I think that Twitter and social media really propelled that. Where I don't know how many people listening know about my career, but I was a fourth line plug. I was more healthy scratches in the NHL than I had games played. So I was kind of more of a locker room jester / DJ / you know, when they had a fighter in the lineup for the other team, I would be inserted, and you know, most nights I would have to try to take care of business.
Was there an understanding of that was why you were being put in, or were you ever told Or was it just like, Biz, you know, or you, could you tell from the tone of a game that this needs to happen?
No. So, I mean, the writing was on the wall, like figuratively and literally, where, so let's back it up. I was a defenseman my entire career growing up, got drafted to the OHL as a defenseman, got drafted to the NHL as a defenseman, played under 18 twice for Team Canada, represented my country, didn't make World Juniors. But when I got to pro, I spent my first couple of years up and down between the ECHL, which is the third league, and the AHL, which is the one just below the NHL. Right. And I thought I was doing well. I was a two-time ECHL All-Star as a defenseman, but after, in my third year, I was called up by the AHL team and they had me as a fourth line left winger, and I'd never played forward in pro before. And I just kind of was like, okay, well, it seems like they have enough defensemen in the system and they have enough skilled forwards, and I'm not necessarily that skilled. I think there's an opportunity if I want to potentially make the NHL where I have to add this to my bag. I would fight a little bit in junior, maybe, you know, 5-8 times a year when it had to, because I was like, you're battling in front of the net as a defenseman. Sometimes you get in a dust up. But at that point, I was just like, you know what? I think my only path to be a sustainable NHLer is to be an enforcer. So I switched to forward that year, and the next two seasons had 30 plus fight seasons in the AHL. And I was getting the shit beat out of me. Are you allowed to swear on these?
Was it just like the slap shot and all that stuff?
It was just like slap shot. You were riding the bus, and I mean, also technology wasn't where it was. I don't even think Instagram existed, right? So no. There's no apps to go on. So you'd be fighting these grown men's, and some of which were on steroids at the time. Like, I know for a fact, because we've had them on the podcast, to ask them, like, hey, how the hell did you Bambi me like that? And yeah, maybe a couple needles in my ass. But it was tough, man, because these guys had been doing it their whole lives. They were a lot bigger than me, and it was a skill that I hadn't developed to their degree. And those back-to-back years, like, some games you were getting in two of them, and I would get my nose broke, concussions. And back then it was different. Nowadays you get bumped, they send you down the hallway, you got to do the baseline test.
Yeah.
Back then it was just like, I would get Bambied, I'd skate to the penalty box. Like, you know, like,
excuse me one second, I would get Bambied. Legs. Okay, so where's this term come from?
You know, you ever seen the movie Bambi, where the start, the knees are all over the place? Yeah, so yeah. I would get clocked in the side of the head by some juice monkey, and next thing you know, I'm like, in Binghamton, New York, like out to lunch. And then, sure enough, because we didn't have like a super heavyweight, so I had to do that job. And then that same game, he took a run at another one of my players, and then the other fighter we had on our team was, you know, he was being a little soft. He didn't want to step up to the plate. So I ended up fighting the same guy again. And then, sure enough, Bambied again. I earned my per diem pack that day, Chuck.
Hey, you know, it's so funny. When we had the Make-A-Wish kids in last week, and I called you over. So, Ernie, you weren't around. Well, actually, you might have been around.
He was talking to the mother.
We had the Make-A-Wish kids in.
Yeah, he was signing a bow tie.
And something happened, and the guys, hockey came up. And this one kid says, oh, my God, is Biz Nasty here? I said, what? He says, can I please meet Biz Nasty? And I called him. I said, yo, man, this kid wants to meet you so bad. He came over, and they spent a couple of minutes together. But this kid was so excited to meet you. So tell us about the term Biz Nasty.
So, yeah, I think I got sidetracked in the midst of maybe explaining just kind of how things popped off. But so eventually, because I became this jester, I found my way to the NHL with Pittsburgh, and then I was picked up by waivers by Arizona. And because it was a non-traditional market, we had a guy on our team who recommended jumping on Twitter. And it's funny because around that time, I believe you were, you know, doing your media thing, and then you got asked about it and you're like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And I was like, I agree. I think it's stupid. Because at the time I thought the concept was just kind of letting people know what you were up to via this app.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, why would I just want to keep updating people what the hell I'm doing?
Don't they have a life?
Yeah.
Just had a tuna melt.
But then finally, when the teammate was persistent, he's like, man, you're such a clown. You got to get on there. And I eventually did. And I kind of realized there was more to it. You know, you could tweet live sports. You could just joke around. You could post videos, whatever it may be. So because I was in this non-traditional market, they were very loose about allowing me to really show personality on there. I was a madman. Like, I was telling people the you know, it was crazy. It was the wild, wild west back then. It was a lot less sensitive of a climate than it is now. So I was just free flying it. And then I was nicknamed Biz Nasty when I was in the American Hockey League by one of my roommates, just because of all the fighting and how crazy and stupid I was. And then I just kind of put that persona on Twitter, and it popped off. Because I don't think that any of the players had adapted to social media like that, and or weren't willing to put themselves out there and be as opinionated as I was. And it just kind of caught fire and grew and grew and grew. And from there, other opportunities popped up where, you know, I was never really afraid of being in front of the camera. So where most guys in hockey are pretty chill and maybe aren't as comfortable, it just, the opportunities kept coming, and then I just never really say no.
You know why it works? You know why it works?
No.
Because you're you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that helps.
It is. It is because I saw the same thing when Kenny started with us, you know, years and years and years ago. And Chuckster obviously is a prime example of it too, is that it's not like you sat down and said, okay, now who do I need to be now with the red lights on? And it's refreshing. I mean, it's great. I mean, the same conversations we're having here, you're the same guy. Guy we see on there, same guy we see in the hallway. And that's what a lot of folks don't get when they try to make that transition onto TV. It's like, okay, now
I got to be different.
I need to be a broadcast professional. No, just be Kenny. Just be Chuck. Just be Biz. And do your thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what's refreshing about this network is they really allow you to do that, right? Where sometimes you go to other companies and it's very traditional. And I didn't think that would have ever worked to begin with just because of the background I just talked about. And also, like, we do a podcast with Spittin' Chiclets where it's just very laid back. You let it fly. You be yourself. And, yeah, you could be a clown sometimes and amp it up. But, yeah, overall, I first of all, I appreciate the comments. It just, you know, goes to show why this network is so successful. Let everybody be themselves.
Yeah. So tell us about Spittin' Chiclets.
So that's a podcast that was started by Rear Admiral RA, our host, and Ryan Whitney, who I used to play with in Pittsburgh. And at the time I was still playing, and that's when podcasts just started taking off. And I'd been on it a couple times, and then they asked me to join, but I was still playing.
Yeah.
And they slowly evolved it, ended up getting a producer on board. And then finally, after I retired, I got into my first gig was with the Arizona Coyotes. And then I did radio with Bob Heathouse. I don't know if you ever turn on the Coyotes game. Legend.
I do not.
Yeah, but okay.
He nods. For those of you who can't see this, Chuck gives a knowing nod. No, I don't.
I find hockey fascinating because, first of all, I would never listen to any sport on the radio. Let's get that out the way. I watch hockey. Obviously, now I watch hockey. No, I would never turn on the radio and listen to the game. I think that's the stupidest thing in the world.
Have you ever listened to golf on the radio, by the way?
No, I have not.
You're on a long drive, I wonder who's winning the tournament. That's a very weird experience.
I would never.
You'd never listen to a baseball game, an NBA playoff game, anything. No.
Baseball's pretty relaxing.
I've never listened to a sporting event on the radio.
You're lying.
I'm telling you the truth. I think that's the stupidest thing in the world.
That's an exaggeration.
Now that you got your phones, I agree, because it's easy to go to whatever apps you can.
I'm a visual person when it comes to sports. Like, I just wouldn't want to listen to it on the radio.
Who was the Dodgers guy?
Vin Scully.
Yeah, you tell me you can't listen to Vin Scully?
Well, painting those pictures?
I'm telling you, I've never done that.
Damn. Okay.
I know it's weird. There's a lot of stuff I learned.
You uncultured swine.
Even after sitting next to this guy for years, there were things I learned just on this podcast that I never knew. I never knew you'd never listen to a sporting event on the radio.
I want to watch it.
I know you want to, but sometimes the next best thing is, hey, I just want to listen to it and see what's going on.
No.
You never listen to a Sixer game on the radio. You never listen to a Phillies game on the radio.
No, I go to Phillies games. I'm trying to figure where you would drive long enough to sit in the car that long.
But it's not like you have to listen to the whole game.
Yeah, you don't got to go start to finish. I don't think there's any rules behind it.
It's like, okay, I'm about to get behind the wheel. I think you're really missing out, Chuck. Yeah, come on.
I got TV, Biz.
Okay.
It's a new thing. Right. Flat screen.
I'll check it out.
Would you encourage him to get on social media or not?
No, you brought up a good point. Is you said, why do I want to talk to these idiots? That's what you said, right?
Yes.
It's just a bunch of morons. Well, but I mean, I am. So it's like I feel like I'm communicating with my people. So that's why it works for me, right?
Hey, listen, I think it can be fine for certain people, but I think that you know people are gonna be negative. I choose not to communicate with them or give them an avenue to reach me. That's just my personal opinion. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a percentage of people, the big percentage of people that are great, gonna say positive things or try to have a fair, honest discussion. But there's probably 20% of people just assholes.
It's worse than that.
Is it worse than
especially
that?
On Twitter, yeah. Yeah. It's worse much than more. That, about 50-50.
And see, what really bothers me, I don't think there's ever a reason to be an asshole. Like,
Well, you don't, that's not a requirement for you if you're on social. You may have a point you want to make, Chuck. You may want to tweet out something about a cause that you support. And you'd have millions of people who may not be aware of it saying, wow, that thing Chuck's doing is pretty
it's
cool.
It's all about how you want
to
use it.
It's not like anytime anybody tweets, you have to go back at them. Yeah. Most of the time, you just kind of like, okay, fine, whatever.
I just
whatever.
Choose to not let them communicate
I'm just saying you're missing an opportunity in 2023 where social media could really enhance what it is that you care about. I mean, because there's no requirement that says if you do this, you must read all of these tweets of people saying you're an idiot. You don't have to.
Well, and for you going back to the podcast, it really helped as far as growth because before I got on there, you know, Whit didn't have the one of the hosts didn't have a huge social media following. Neither did RA, the host of the podcast, Rear Admiral. So when I jumped on, based on the fact that I'd grown my platforms, I was able to pump the podcast out there so those people were aware to go see it. So that's where it really benefited me to grow it and start the fan base early on. To where now, I think they were probably averaging around that time, 30, 40, 50,000 downloads a pod, where now I believe we're in the, 600 to 650,000 range.
Wow, that's awesome.
So it really took off. And then it also, we were able to expand it where we have a Spit and Chicklets YouTube channel. Obviously we're available on Spotify, Apple. We do these sandbagger golf videos now where we pair up with, it's me and Whit versus two NHLers. We do our handicaps at the start. So it's just really opened up a lot of avenues for us from a financial standpoint and us to basically create whatever we want to create. The landscape of all media changed so much when all these social media apps started popping up because you didn't have to rely on these big networks where anybody with creativity didn't have to all of a sudden be discovered, work their way up to get the opportunity to potentially be able to create whatever they wanted to create, rather it maybe than be the suits idea, so to speak. So because of this podcast, like I got full creative control of everything I got going on. And that to me is what's the most important.
Who's the best hockey player you play with?
I play with Crosby and Malkin when I first got to Pittsburgh, and I was only there for 15 games. I played 15 games, was there for half a season. So it was pretty remarkable to see what type of sacrifice you have to make in order to be the greatest or one of the greatest at your sport. So I thought it was a really cool experience to just see, like, every day, like, you know, how serious they took practice. They always wanted to be the first guy in line to do the rep and do it properly so everybody saw how it was done. The way that they treated their off ice as far as eating habits and just, like I said, the personal sacrifice where I'm sure to become that great, there's a lot of people you have to maybe lose connection with and whether it's like distant friends and it's hard, man. So what's the saying? Heavy is head that wears a crown. So playing with Crosby and Malkin was a really, really cool experience.
Who's going to win the cup?
Oh my goodness. It's like that young blood that's coming up now, and I'm all in on Toronto. I grew up near there. I'm an Ontario boy. They actually have the best Vegas odds, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's McDavid's year. And for those of you who are listening who don't know who McDavid is, he's the next.
Yeah, if you don't know who he is, you shouldn't be listening.
No, I would say he's the next coming of Gretzky, and no disrespect to the great one. I think he would say the same. It's just. You see a lot of resemblance in the way that he's single-handedly able to dominate the game, especially with the way that skating and the level playing field where like every player can skate really well now. The goalies are so much better. So just at the way that he's lighting up the league right now and the way that he does it, how fast he is, it's astonishing. It's like he's in a league of his own. So Edmonton would be my pick right now.
Well, so they are the two betting favorites. I happened to see that last night. So
you just happened to see that?
I just happened to see that.
I said between him and Draisaitl, it's the best dynamic duo in sports I've ever seen since Pippen and Jordan.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you take those two guys away and just the way they're able to work out there on the power play, they just set a record, 56%, the highest percentage in a single series ever in NHL playoff history. The power play carried them through the series, especially when they were vulnerable. And they're just so dominant compared to their peers, and they just so happens they're on the same team. I thought it was a fair comparison.
So the debate that I've had with my hockey friends, the Boston Bruins, just won the President's Trophy, which is the best record in NHL. But they also set the record for most points, most wins. And they get upset in the first round of the playoffs. Do you think having to play hard to the last game of the year to set the record, do you think that had an effect upon them?
Yeah, I think because of how physically demanding hockey is that I think they did load manage a little bit, but they probably maybe should have done it a little bit more, especially with the depth they had. But sometimes certain things happen at the worst possible time where they did have a little bit of adversity coming into the year with some injuries. But at the end of the year, they had some guys get like a flu bug. Patrice Bergeron, who's given his entire career to that team, and he's been such a leader on and off the ice. His father is battling cancer right now, and in game 82, they were playing the Montreal Canadiens, and there's no reason that he should have been in the lineup, but because his father is going through what he's going through and he grew up a Canadiens fan, he wanted to play his final game because Patrice Bergeron's probably retiring after the season. I don't know what situation happened, if maybe he comes back for one last dance, but it seems as if though it's leading towards that, and he ended up getting injured in that 82nd game. So that affected them because he's one of the best, first line shutdown centers that the league's seen in probably the last, two decades. So he had a herniated disc in his back. Mm-hmm. They also lost their second line center, David Krejci, and both of them are 37 years old. So a lot of negative things happen at the worst possible time, along with their goaltender, who's probably going to win the Vezina, getting injured. He had an injury. He was also trying to play through it. So then mix that in with maybe a difficult coaching decision by not just playing the reliable backup you went to all year. So all these mistakes and things just kind of happen at the wrong time. And when you catch a hot team like the Florida Panthers, who have been playing meaningful games since the All-Star break, they were just on a heater. And with the help of Matthew Tkachuk, who's probably one of the best, if not the best, American-born player right now, they upset a team that finished 47 points higher in the standings than them.
So you look at, as a Canadian, it's been a minute since y'all won a cup.
Yes.
Do you, obviously, is that a big deal to you?
I think it would be cool just for ratings purposes in Canada, because they rely heavily on those teams going deep into playoffs. And Toronto's been bounced the last 19 years. They haven't gotten past the first round. So I think it would be cool for Canada to get it. I want to say the viewership in that game 7 first round series against the Lightning, or game 6, excuse me, got like 6-7 million viewers in Canada. Wow. We're talking about the first round here. So just an astonishing number of people care about hockey. It's the predominant sport there. I think given the length of time it's been since they won a Stanley Cup in Canada, it would be awesome to see.
So my friends in Toronto try to explain what the Maple Leafs mean to Toronto. Can you explain to our, because they said we have nothing in the States that can compare to.
I would say that the Dallas Cowboys would probably be a good example.
Okay.
Where you could say like that's America's team, where there's probably more Leafs fans in Canada just because Ontario is so big. It would be like playing for the Yankees. Okay. Anywhere you go, even if you're a third liner, people are going to recognize you and want to shake your hand. But with that, much like the Yankees or the Cowboys, comes the scrutiny. Whereas if you don't have success there, the article, they're just manufacturing stuff on a daily basis where you're just, I don't know how these kids want to put up with it. And no wonder why most kids don't want to sign there, which was weird when, you know, John Tavares had a good thing going with the New York Islanders. He'd signed there. They started creating a winning culture. And then when he became a free agent, because he's a Toronto kid, he wanted to go back home to his hometown, which, you know, in the last 3 years that he's been there since he signed, it's been turbulent. And, you know, that's a long off season when you're reading all these articles about how you're losers and you're busts and you your team's soft and you can't play playoff hockey and you're in the mecca of the hockey world. So from a personal standpoint, the pressure those guys deal with, Dallas Cowboys and New York Yankees would be a fair comparison.
You may be aware that Chuckster takes great pride in his karaoke skills, and for no good reason. But I saw you singing. Serenading Rick Tocchet.
Yeah.
When he left the show.
That's his boy.
To become a head coach. What's your go-to karaoke song?
I never get up.
Because you got a good voice.
Yeah, I never.
You don't. He does.
See, you're a bitter angry man.
I'm not a bitter angry man.
What's your go-to song?
Usually something by Buffett. But if you want to have fun, maybe it's like Copacabana or something really, really campy.
And I'm Frank Sinatra. They call me Old Brown Eyes.
Yeah. You don't want to hear it, but you have a good voice. I was surprised when I saw that.
I've never had the balls to get up and sing karaoke.
Sang on national TV.
I think, it was pre-recorded, so we were very fortunate. And I also had Hank leading guitar, so if I screwed up, he's that piece of meat where everyone's just going to dial into him anyway because he's got the guitar in his hands.
I noticed
and his three-piece suit.
I noticed some about Hank the other night. He is the Swedish Jared Greenberg.
I don't know who Jared Greenberg is.
Jared NBA, Greenberg NBA is an NBA host. TV reporter.
Okay.
We call him half man, half makeup.
But Hank doesn't wear much makeup. He's got that bronze tan.
Jared's thing is his hair. It's just perfect.
So Hank, I was in there watching the other night. He used like a whole bottle of hairspray.
He's all about, he's all into the hair.
I mean,
he's there every break.
Ernie, he was in there. He's like, okay, he's done, right? He moves it, keeps going, I said, oh, he into the hair. He's the sweetest Jared Greenberg, half man, half hair.
He gets his hair cut for $25 in NYC. He's a gatekeeper of his barber. Because I was like, hey, who's your barber? Like, sometimes in NYC, I'd like to stop by, get a good chop. And he's like, yeah, I'm not telling you where my barber is. Because they don't get very busy. He never has to wait in line. And it's a $25 chop for that salad.
Man,
can you imagine?
That's impressive.
So no wonder he's gatekeeping it. I try to keep making him side bets where if I win, he would have to expose who his barber is. But he's keeping that. He's keeping it in the vault.
So can you believe that you work for us?
No.
And we have.
I'm surprised I haven't been canned yet.
No. You
set the way for that. The bar to get canned and called into the principal's office is so high that even I don't get many PD whacks here.
That's exactly right. So
thank you, Chuck.
So this year, how pumped would you be? TNT has the Stanley Cup final, which I'm pumped for. Edmonton against Toronto. How crazy would that be for you?
So because we're on an American network, I don't know how thrilled they would be from a rating standpoint, but my job with the podcast and with all the people who follow Spit and Chicklets is to say, this is a remarkable thing going on here. We have the mecca of the hockey world and Pippen and Jordan of today in the hockey world, McJesus as we call him, and Dreisaitl going head to head. And
Austin Matthews, John Tavares Marner.
Mitch Marner.
Come on, man.
I call him the core four. I hear you. I would say that McJesus and Dreisaitl take priority as far as the individual aspect, but you have two great teams, great fan bases, and some of the league's brightest stars going head to head. I can't even understand why the American audience wouldn't want to consume that, considering if Toronto does get there, I would put Austin Matthews at that point as the greatest American-born player playing at this time. So that's what should captivate the audience.
We could do this for hours, but we can't because we are.
We got a job.
Yeah.
Oh, they cut you guys off for 45 minutes.
You're off, right?
This is my day off. Yeah.
Oh man, it was great of you to come in here on your day off.
What did you do yesterday?
I recorded a 3-hour podcast to summarize everything that happened and our predictions for what's going forward. Who do you think is going to win the Stanley Cup, Chuck?
I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to win.
There you
because
go.
I said that?
No, nope, nope. I agree with you.
Because of McJesus?
Hey, because of
McJesus.
I'm telling
you. That's how you have to say it.
You know, I like watch, like, you know how when you watch certain sports, you're like, oh, yeah. When you see McDavid skate, you're like, yeah, he's faster than everybody
else.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And you know, I says,
he's got a turbo button.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Guy.
I says, yo, man, some of these guys are skating fast, but he looks different. Like when I watch Nolan Ryan and Roger Clemens throw a ball, I'm like, yo, man, they're throwing harder than everybody
that's different.
Else. It's different.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Your Stanley Cup prediction? Do you want to jump on the Leafs bandwagon?
No, I mean, I don't follow it closely enough to say that, yeah, you know, but I like the storyline, so I would say that to see the Maple Leafs in there, you know, in the name of Jacques Plante, who was their goaltender way back in the 70s.
Wow.
When I was
when I was a twinkle in my old man.
Lanny McDonald
when
was
like
on that
seven.
Team. Yeah, I remember those old Maple Leafs team, and I remember the old Maple Leaf Gardens and Maple Leaf Gardens.
I think either one works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you wouldn't say Madison Square Gardens. You'd say Madison Square Garden. And so I always try to get that right.
I should brush up on my history.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
Thank you, brother.
Don't you change a thing, man.
Voice.
Hey,
thank
I, look,
you guys
forward
so,
to, I
yeah.
look forward to being on Chicklist next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, we're excited to have you.
And hopefully your schedules work out where you're not sharing time in the steam room with that guy. So you don't want to unsee anything.
He came back to get a second opinion.
He's like, hold my feet. Sweaty, stinky toes. Get out of here, Chuck.
We move from a legendary guest to just a legend. The legendary longtime producer of Inside
Happy
the NBA,
birthday,
Tim Kiley.
Legend.
Yeah.
I'm Ernie Holmes.
Ernie Holmes.
63.
Hey,
the great Ernie Holmes. He has some power.
Oh, yep. He was a dangerous man.
He was a dangerous man.
He was my man, though.
How'd you spend your birthday?
I took my wife out to dinner with my daughter.
Where?
We went to McKendrick's. It was a nice steak place up by...
Steakhouse?
Steakhouse.
Okay. We had this conversation.
Yeah, we had this conversation before. No salad bar.
Medium rare?
We have a salad bar.
Medium rare.
Medium rare.
Filet.
Medium well.
Off and off. Potatoes.
Was this the other night when Liv and
Tim.
And Tim were in town?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so they came in and saw you guys, which was very kind of all you to give them a little time.
Well, we like your family. We don't like you, but we like your family.
All right. Well, speaking of things that we don't like.
No.
Ernie's favorite subject of all time.
Okay.
NFL
you guys
draft.
Call me when this is over.
NFL draft. Chuck, do you
call
realize?
Call me when this is over.
Hold on, Ernie, now. Don't give up on me yet. The Bulldogs have set an unofficial record in the last 3 years. 34 players
wow.
drafted.
That explains the two national championships.
And you owe him a very big thank you.
For what?
It's your Philadelphia Eagles, correct?
Oh, yeah, we got a little pipeline.
I did hear that. I heard a bunch of dogs went to Philadelphia. I'm just not a big NFL draft guy.
No,
I think it's probably because of the timing and we're doing so much NBA. But yeah, go dogs. And it's with that kind of talent, but for all of that talent to be funneled to one team is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I watched the first round. I will admit that. And I'll watch the second and third round just because.
I'll watch the first round.
Yeah,
I'll watch the second and third round.
Yeah, but that's it.
But that he won't listen to it on radio.
How many total rounds are there?
Seven.
He won't listen to it on radio. I'm sure it has to be on TV.
Yeah, because I want
to
see.
Do you listen to the radio, by the way?
Yes. Serious.
Yeah. No, it is a serious question.
No. I never listen to the radio.
But you never listen to sports on the radio.
I do not. I listen to music.
I will tell
and
you
I'm
this,
tell
Ernie,
you.
Your comment on listening to golf on radio, you do sort of dip in and out. Do you think you're on acid listening to that?
It's a little bizarre.
Well, not that I've ever been on acid.
Colors are very bright, Chuck. Okay. So,
colors are very bright.
Yes.
I got turned off by the radio, in fairness, Ernie, back in my day, because the DJ wouldn't shut the up. I'm like, yo, man, we did not turn on the radio to hear somebody talk. We turned on the radio to hear music. and the DJ would not shut the hell up. And I was like, yo, man, why? I want to listen to music. So I think one of the best things ever happened in the world is Sirius Radio.
I agree.
Well, you can just listen to music.
For sure.
Yeah, you can just listen to music.
But you could have also put a CD or a tape in back in your day, too.
Oh, those days.
You know, Ernie, there was not a lot of extra cash floating around.
No, I'm talking about when you're playing in Philadelphia. You're in the NBA. You've got 48 cars.
Yeah, first of all, I've never had more than one car. I did have a few cars one time, and Dr. J made me take them back.
Yeah.
Told me, son, don't be an idiot. You can only drive one car at a time. He made me take my other cars back, him and Moses. I'm like, okay, good point. So now I have one car.
All right.
So all you need. You can't drive more than one, America.
I have a challenge for you guys. You heard of your mama jokes, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And dad jokes are big now,
yeah.
Right? So I'm going to do grandpa jokes in honor of the two grandfathers here.
Oh, yes.
Your participation.
Yeah. And a brand, brand new spanking new first granddaughter.
Yes.
For the Chuckster.
Little Charlie.
Little Charlie.
Eliza.
All right. I'm going to tell the joke. You have to stare at each other and see who laughs first.
See, I'm already laughing, so I'm going to lose.
Well, you don't laugh if it's not funny.
All right, question number one.
We're looking at each other. And
you're looking at each other, and let's see if you can't laugh. My grandpa told me when he was small, the alphabet only had 25 letters. Nobody knew why. Well, I got a little out of Ernie. Did you get that one?
Nobody knew why.
Nobody knew why. All right, you ready?
All right.
All right.
You know, sometimes people laugh at jokes because they're not funny.
Well, because they're trying to make the person not feel bad.
Let's go. Here we go. Ernie already broke up on the first one. What is Grandpa's usual bedtime? 3 hours after falling asleep on the couch.
He broke on that one.
That's good.
All right. My grandpa started walking 5 miles a day when he turned 60. He's now 90. And we have no idea where the hell he is.
He did it again.
He's
laughing at all these.
It's great.
I told you when they're funny, you got to laugh, don't you?
What's Grandpa's favorite Beatles song? I get by with a little help from Depends. Wow, cold death there. What's Grandpa's favorite Rolling Stones songs? You can't always pee when you want. Stone cold. All right, here's the last one. You ready? My favorite childhood memory was building sandcastles with my grandfather. Then my mother hid his urn from me.
That's a
awful joke.
It's a cremation joke.
Oh, my God.
So, what'd you think? You going to save any of those for Christiana?
So I'm finally going to get to meet little Charlie Thursday. I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
To go home and see little Charlie Eliza.
I'll tell you what, Henry's got some serious moss.
I know, man. His little hair is the best thing ever.
And I bet Christiana is saying, I ain't never cutting that. Don't you even bring it
up,
Grandpa.
That's right.
Don't you bring up me taking him to the little barber.
No, you know what's really crazy? She said to me a few months back, Dad, I'm thinking about cutting his hair. I says, you're thinking about being out of the wheel. I said, don't you ever cut that kid hair for at least over a year or something like that. I said, let that stuff flow. And now she started putting it in a man bun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cute.
What else you got?
That's it for tonight.
I got one for you. Don't laugh at this, okay? Neither of you can laugh at this, okay? Because this is a joke that my granddaughter told me. All right. So you prepared? Look at me, TK. TK's already laughing. All right. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Because.
What?
You like that one?
I like that one. That was better than mine.
You only have to laugh at that because it's your granddaughter.
You get it, Chuck? Why did the chicken cross the road?
Because my mother took away his urn. I'll try to do better next week.
When you want to.
Do you think anybody is still listening to this podcast?
No, it's gone.
We'll find out when we come back and do a little little answering machine.
Yes.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Oh, welcome back.
Steam Room. What a great show.
What? The Steam Room?
Yes.
Just in general or this one in particular?
This one in particular.
Hmm. Even Ernie. Better than normal, you think?
No, you know, Beer's got
such... I think it's always such a high quality, Chuckster. I can't tell them all apart.
They all got high quality.
Yes,
they and do. You know we got a new producer today, Abby, who's doing a fabulous job.
This is her. This is the second time she's produced the pod. Yeah. Michael Kaplan is on assignment. He's on assignment somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever you say. You know, Biz has such great charisma.
Yes, he does.
And
fun guy to be around.
Fun guy to be around.
Just like TK, also another fun guy. To be around.
Okay. Whatever makes you float your boat.
It's time for Chuck's answering machine. You know the phone number?
No, I don't.
Try it again.
404-987.
Yes.
0333.
Man, you came within a digit. 0330.
Okay.
That's impressive, though, because we've been doing this for 4 years, and you almost know the phone number for your own answering machine.
Impressive. What's Cheryl's phone number?
I think I'm going to put that out there.
You know it?
Yes.
Okay.
There are only a few that I know, because most of it's just by name. But that's one that I do.
Okay.
That I do have committed to memory. By the way, can I shout out my wife, Cheryl Ann?
Sure.
Honored by the Annandale Village. Yesterday at their annual golf tournament. And it was really nice of them to do that because two of our daughters are villagers at Annandale Village. It's a place for special needs adults. And it's been around for a while and they do a tremendous job. And so two of our daughters live there. The annual golf tournament, they decided to honor Cheryl Ann for all the work that she's done against, helping folks with addiction, sex trafficking, the homeless right now. That's her latest venture. And so they couldn't.
What's her latest venture?
Rainbow Village outside Atlanta, which is really redefining what it means to be homeless. Hmm. And so that's what she's working on now. And Melanie runs the ship out there, and she's just an unbelievable person. But yeah, Rainbow Village. But thanks to Annandale Village for recognizing my wife because
man, she's a saint.
She is without question. And don't so you don't have to follow that up with why has she been married to you for 40 years? Blah blah blah. First call.
Hello world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message,
Mr. Barkley. Do you use the first and last slices of bread in the loaf, or do you throw them away? Thanks.
I love that question. I can't wait to see what you say.
First of all, you throw them away.
I'm with you 1,000%.
You throw those away, brother. First of all, dude didn't even tell us where he's from.
It's okay.
No, I like to know where people are from.
I think he was from Anchorage.
You think that or you know that? I
think he was from Anchorage.
I don't think they use regular bread in
It was
Anchorage.
Either that or...
You think they use that bread in Anchorage, Alaska?
I have no idea. I just made that up. But no, I throw those away too. No, you can't. I can't use those on a sandwich. I can't do it.
First of all, did you say sandwich?
I did say sandwich. Damn. I can't do that with a sandwich. Where did that come from?
Just a sandwich. Oh, Lord.
But yeah, I just don't like the texture on those as part of a sandwich.
You have to really be hungry to eat those two ends of the bread.
You know what else I don't like?
What?
Okay, I love Chick-fil-A. I love the waffle fries. But I do not like the waffle fries that have that covering on them.
The end.
I hate those. I got to have them all like from inside the... inside the potato. What are you laughing about? I threw you off by saying sandwich.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Let's go to the next call.
Hey, Charles and Ernie. This is Jenny from North Carolina. Long-time steamer here. I need some help. My daughter is getting married soon, and I know I have to give a speech to a large group. Do you have any advice? No? Should I wing it? Also, do you prefer Bojangles or Chick-fil-A? See ya.
Advice for a wedding speech?
No, I think you have to write. I don't. When I do any speech, this way, because I write down words, because I don't want to just read off of paper, because I want it to come from my heart. So
bullet points.
Bullet points. That's what I do. Like when I had to do it at my daughter's wedding, I did like stuff she did when she was young, stuff she did in high school, stuff she did in college. So I want to just, I told a bunch of funny stories, but I don't think you want to read a speech.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you don't want to read a speech.
Because you know the person so well.
Yeah.
So you just want to, if there are things that you know you need to include, just a reminder on there to make sure that you get these things in here. But the rest of it is right
from your heart.
Right from your heart and talking to everybody in the audience and not looking down at a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that would be it. And what was the second part of that question?
I think she said something about Chick-fil-A or Bojangles.
Chick-fil-A. As long as you get a good bag of those waffle fries without the ones with the husk on.
I think the chicken Caesar wrap. A Chick-fil-A is
three words I never thought I'd hear you say.
Chicken Caesar wrap?
Yeah.
Oh, you get the little dressing and you dip it in there.
Oh, I know what it is. Yeah. I just thought there's no way on earth that you'd know what one was or whatever have had one.
I've had
from a guy who used to have only McDonald's fish fillets before games.
I had a large fry and a Diet Coke to wash it down.
Mm-hmm. Next call.
Come on, that tartar sauce is the bomb.
Good afternoon. This is Esme, and I was calling because it is my sister, Mary Kendall Parker's 40th birthday, and she is the Steam Room, and more importantly, your biggest fan. She listens to the Steam Room religiously, and just last night she was telling me how during COVID, you guys kind of put out a call to action, and you inspired her to be a better human. And she really took that challenge seriously. And she's a physician and she has started mentoring others. And it really did change her life, as crazy as that sounds. Anyway, I really appreciate all the good work that you do. We enjoy your show. Have a good day.
Wow.
That was just a nice call. That wasn't asking for anything. It wasn't for, you know, like a
physician.
Yeah. So that's nice.
And plug to your guys.
Well, yeah, Griff and the guys at Combat Flip Flops and BeABetterHuman.com.
Thanks to all the veterans out there. And I told you, teachers and veterans are two of my favorite groups to acknowledge because I just admire the hell out of both of them. You know, and one thing about our country, we suck at how we treat our vets. We need to do a much better job how we treat our vets. In fairness, we need to do a much better job of how we treat our teachers.
Yeah, no doubt.
So shout out to all the vets, and thank you for that kind call.
Yeah, that was just like a, hey, just want to thank you. And we appreciate that. That was very kind.
I mean, she's a doctor. How much better a human can she be? She's a doctor.
That's also a good question. You ready for one more call?
Yes, sir.
This is Kelvin Green calling from Kinston, North Carolina. Chuck, I'm super excited for you and the birth of your granddaughter. I just want to tell you it's going to be a different level of rat that she's going to have you around your finger. I can only imagine. I look forward to hearing all sorts of stories and wishing you the best. But as a teacher in North Carolina, I often promote group work and collaboration among my students. Being an assistant basketball coach at the varsity high school level, I also love to see it among my players. Quick question. If the Inside the NBA team was doing a group project, which member of the cast would you least like to have help you out on a group project?
Shaq.
Or Kenny. Either. Both. Like Radio said, both. Both of them. I don't want to work with Kenny or Shaq in any capacity on anything serious. I mean, hell no. Number one, thank you for being a teacher. I love the group aspect because I think it's really important. Because that's one reason. The one reason I love sports so much is, number one, it teaches you how to work hard. But also it teaches you how to interact with other people. You know, we're not like golf and tennis where you're out there by yourself. On any team that's going to be successful, you need, as Pat Ryder said, voluntary cooperation.
And so, and here's, and not to interrupt you, but I did, and I will continue to, but we do that all the time. We have a, we have a group project every night with, that we're on the air. So we joke and say we wouldn't want to work with Kenny or Shaq.
Oh, but I'm not all, joking.
No, but don't you no. see the similarities
no,
in that
I don't.
Everybody brings something different to the table. So if we were going to do a class project, and it depends on what the project is, but there are certain areas where Shaq would excel, certain areas where Kenny would excel.
Which one?
It depends on what the project is. You know, if you were going to say, hey, we're going to build our own company from scratch. You know, you might say, hey, Shaq, you're very good at that. You're a great entrepreneur. So, well, let's you do this. Hey, Kenny, you could do this. Ernie, would you do this? Chuck, would you do this? So, yeah, I think the teamwork is fundamental there. And there are certain things where each of us might have expertise.
Well, my man, I disagree with Ernie. under no circumstance do I want to work on anything serious with Kenny and Shaq. Under zero circumstances.
Okay.
Now, I work with the
Never mind.
I work with Ernie on anything because I know he's going to pull his share. And he, you know, under no circumstance on anything other than basketball do I want to work with Kenny and Shaq.
You have some reservations on Kenny and Shaq on pulling their share?
Yes, I have. I
mean, and what do you base that on?
One guy, I'm going to have to work half the time at the hookah bar. And the other half, the other guy, I got to make, I don't know if he's going to show up half the time. So no, I do not want to work with Kenny and Shaq under any capacity on anything serious. Just basketball.
I think you make very valid points. I retract everything I said going in. That's going to do it for the for Chuck's answering machine, and it's going to do it for this episode of the Steam Room.
Man, we only got one more episode left for the year.
Yeah,
we got to do something great for that one.
You know what? Are we ever going to get Ted Lasso on this pod?
Come on, Jason Sudeikis.
Man alive, Jason.
Come on,
alive, everybody. We've been trying forever to get him on this pod, and we got one more left for this season.
One more.
Somebody who knows Jason Sudeikis, pass this on to him. Ted Lasso would be the absolute perfect finale
yes.
for this season.
Come on, Ted.